This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, they're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Celebrating the big Washington football team win yesterday over the Dallas Cowboys. It is a Victory Friday here on the Junkies Cakes. And Victory Friday is driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers, where there's always less talk and more drive. Shop dcarea.acuradealers.com for current incentives. Washington in first place after win, and we're taking your calls at 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in on the AAA Always On Call listener lines. Cakes, if you had to pick one thing that popped for you yesterday, what was it? And we'll open up the calls. What popped for you yesterday? Was there one play or was there something overall?
Come on,
I think
JP.
I know.
You know,
because I know who you hold
I'm
in fantasy football.
I'm a big AG stan over here, big Antonio Gibson guy. I mean, the breakout was yesterday, but we've seen this building with the workload that he's gotten over the past few games. And then yesterday, 20 carries, 7 targets in the passing game. He hauled in 5 of those, only for 21 yards, but it shows his involvement in the offense. And earlier in the season, people were like, well, is McKissick the lead back? Is Gibson the lead back? There's no more question anymore. The lead back in the offense is Antonio Gibson.
No question.
The offense runs through Antonio Gibson. McKissick is a nice piece. He's a nice change of pace guy, very reliable with his hands out of the backfield, but the hammer is Antonio Gibson. And I think you're really going to see Coach Rivera and the rest of this offense lean on him down the stretch. And I think you're just scratching the surface with him now, because as we've talked about all season, he's still learning the ropes, still adapting to life as a running back in the NFL. So I think what you've seen out of him, you know, with him, you know, double digit touchdowns, the workload he's taking on, that's clearly what popped for me. I mean, he was a superstar yesterday.
Yeah, and maybe that's just the coaching staff getting more and more comfortable with him. You know, the first 2 weeks when Alex Smith is throwing the ball to J.D. McKissick every other throw, it seemed like.
Right.
I thought that Antonio Gibson's workload would be minimized. I mean, you saw 29 targets in 2 games from Alex Smith to J.D. McKissick. But to me, the most encouraging thing, and like you, I'm a fantasy football owner of Antonio Gibson,
yes,
so I love it, is that you look at McKissick out of the backfield, he was only targeted twice yesterday. Gibson targeted 7 times. So if not only do you get Gibson's carries, but you actually see him getting more of a workload, catching the ball out of the backfield, I think that only benefits the Washington football team.
Yeah, and it clearly benefits Alex Smith, because we've touched on this not only in this show but before. You don't want Alex Smith throwing the ball all over the yard. That's not what he is at this point. He's never really been that, but you definitely don't want him doing that at this stage in his career. You want him to be that complementary piece that's not going to turn the ball over, that's relatively conservative, and you win games by running the ball and by playing stout defense. And I know that's a throwback. I know that's not, you know, it's not intuitive as to what's happening in most of the league in 2020, but at least for 2020, Rivera's blueprint is Antonio Gibson is going to see the bulk of the carries. We're going to win with defense, and hopefully we're going to squeak out some close games. I think that's the way he wins.
Was the biggest play of the game in my mind, and that's Terry McLaurin. We talk about him almost every week, but he's continuing to produce as a receiver, 7 catches for 92 yards. He brings down tough catches. He's fast. But the play of the game was his chase down to Jalen Smith. It looked like it was going to be a pick six. It looked like you were going to have a tie game. Instead, he gave the defense a chance. And then props to the defense for stopping Andy Dalton and the Cowboys offense there so that they still had a lead. But Terry McLaurin pops almost every week. So I'll go with Terry McLaurin because he deserves it. He deserves the mentions.
By the way, back to Gibson for just a second. In the two games, in the two wins over Dallas this year, 40 carries, 243 yards on the ground, 4 touchdowns. So he's really delivered in the two wins over Dallas. He's the guy that's been the centerpiece for both of those wins.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Let's go to line two. Ben is in Fairfax. Ben, you're on with the Junkies. What's up?
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Ben.
Long-time listener, first time caller.
Thank you, sir.
I guess everybody's excited about the win, but, I mean, Washington hasn't beaten anybody this year. I mean, even if they somehow win the division, I mean, what are you expecting going forward?
Look, it's been a weird year. 2020 is the most bizarre year ever, but, look, they've done it with 3 quarterbacks. They've done it with a lot of upheaval in the front office and the coaching staff, obviously with Rivera coming in. I'm not going to nitpick them at this point. They're leading the division with 4 wins. It's a crazy NFC East. I'm not going to kill them for the wins they have. They found a way to beat the opponents on the schedule. They swept Dallas. They would like at least one of the Giants games back. It stinks to have been swept by them, but what can you do at this point? This is where they are. They're atop the NFC East for now.
And I think you said something earlier. Look, they were a 3-win team a year ago.
Yeah.
So even though they may not have as many wins as you would like them to have right now, they're trending towards a 6-win season, which might actually be good enough to win the division and would be double their output last year. So if you were kind of drawing up the trajectory of what you would like to see from a new head coach who's taking over, bringing in a new culture, you would hope that it's trending in the right direction, and maybe you double your win total, get to 6 this year. Maybe next year you're hovering around 500,
right,
tickling a playoff berth.
There's still a thing
called your playoff team.
Still a thing called building. Okay, you're not going to snap your fingers and all of a sudden Washington's going to go from a 3-win team to an 11 or 12 win team. It's going to take some time. That's what happens when you rebuild a team, which is what Rivera and the staff are attempting to do.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067. What popped for you in yesterday's win over the Cowboys? Let's go to line three. Reggie's in Baltimore. Reggie, on with the Junkies. What's
Look
up?
At me. Look at me, Reggie.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yep. What's up, man?
I want to put a little focus on Scott Turner. I know he took a little flack early on during the year, but, you know, and not being – well, this being his first year as a coordinator and all, but I thought he called a really good game with the misdirection, man, and keeping the defense off balance, using all 3 running backs. You know, I mean, I think he's getting the most out of Barber and McKissick, too, because those guys, I mean, they play a different role, and I think it helps out the other guy, what's his name? 24, can't get his name out.
Antonio Gibson.
Gibson. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. But, Scott Gibson. And then I saw the adjustment somewhat with the corner with Curl. I know he got beat yesterday by Cooper. And then it seemed like he played a little more press coverage against the other wide receiver, the one where he kind of
I think Darby was the corner who got beaten by.
I mean, Darby.
But I'll say this about Cameron Curl. 7th-round draft pick, rookie. He's really good against the run.
He's made some plays.
I mean, really good tackler.
If you're a 7th-rounder and you get on the field and you make one play in a season, I feel like you've paid off where you've been drafted because you're just not expecting a lot out of a 7th-rounder. If he's a regular contributor, I mean that's a huge find for Washington to get a guy like that on the field in an area of need, obviously, and he can perform. I think they have to love what they've seen out of Curl so far.
Reg, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What's it like being a Washington football team fan in Baltimore?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm from PG County, man. So, and I work in Baltimore.
Gotcha.
So I like the Ravens, but I'm a Washington fan, man. But like I said, I'm from the PG County area. I grew up down there, and I just live in Baltimore. I work and live in Baltimore.
Very good. Well, you're talking to two PG County guys, too.
There you go. There you
appreciate
have
it, Reggie.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Same to you, Matt. He's flying that Washington football team flag in Baltimore. That's that's a rarity.
Let's go to Alex in Ashburn, line 4. What's up, Alex?
I take back every bad thing I ever said about Ron Rivera this year.
you retract it all?
All of it. And I think that was the best football game I've seen in 25 years. I watched it from wire to wire. And I think it was so good that it has the it's like a mirror image of the 2019 national season. I think we can go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow. Now we have Super Bowl calls. Hey, mark it down. Crazy. Mark it down, Ryan. 7:13 a.m. Black Friday, Super Bowl call for the Washington football team. This is a first.
Hey, though, we're trending towards a home playoff game, Cakes.
That is true. That, as shocking as it may sound, that could be the outcome.
You know, I said this before. If we talk about Alex Smith's play, certainly the numbers aren't overwhelming, but it's clear, particularly if you think about the first four games when Dwayne Haskins was quarterback, the offense is totally different right now than what it was early in the season. Right, Cakes?
Oh, completely. I mean, they're leaning on the rookie running back at this point to be the guy, as they should. If Antonio Gibson has that sort of talent, I mean, there's a reason why they drafted him in the third round. They thought he'd be a good fit for the system, and judging from yesterday and over the last month, he's a good fit for the system and is a guy that should be relied upon down the stretch to try to carry Washington into the postseason, as weird as that is to say.
And I know, Cakes, you talked about this a lot when we've talked about Scott Turner, that when he was running the offense in Carolina, and now he didn't run it for a ton of games, but he was part of the offensive game plan. That was an offense. Well, they did have Christian McCaffrey, but threw to their backs a lot. And that's a perfect fit for Alex Smith.
That's right.
He was just looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
So besides Terry McLaurin yesterday, who had 7 catches for 92 yards.
Who, by the way, leads the NFL in receiving right now. He's had an extra game. And guys, I'm sure like Diggs and Hopkins, when they play over the weekend, will overtake him. But Terry McLaurin, your present leader in receiving yardage in the NFL.
Yeah, he's having a great year.
Yep.
So besides the 7 catches to Terry McLaurin, wide receivers caught 2 balls from Alex Smith.
Yeah, one to Inman and one to Sims, I believe. But so, hey, like you said, the offensive, the passing game, it runs through the backs and the tight end. And anything you get to, and obviously McLaurin, anything you get ancillary to that, anything you get from Inman or Sims or the other Sims, it's gonna be gravy if you get production from them.
Ryan, you know what to do. Play the music. It's what the people want.
They crave it.
Play
they
the
want
music.
It.
We're talking about what popped from yesterday's game. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. It is a Victory Friday here on the Fan with Cakes and JP from the Junkies. Coming back with more. Don't go anywhere. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on a Victory Friday. How sweet it is. Driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers, where there's always less talk and more drive. Shop dcarea.acuradealers.com for current incentives. It's JP and Cakes talking about what popped in yesterday's Washington football win. Phone lines are locked and loaded, Cakes, so let's get right to the phones. 800-636-1067. You want to chime in? Aaron's in Maryland on line 2. Aaron, you're on with the Junkies. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Hey, what really, really popped for me, I can't believe no one has said anything about it yet, is the play when Alex Smith has scrambled to the left side of the sidelines, and he took a nice hit, and who was there to help pick him up? Haskins. And when Smith got up, he pumped his chest And, I mean, I just think, I don't know where that was in the game, but I think that that play really popped. And Alex Smith, I'm not an Alex Smith fan, even when he went down and we were, what, 6-2 or 5-3 or whatever the case may be. Right. I just, you know, I've never been a fan, but he is really balling. And I want to be the first one to make this prediction. The Redskins will beat the Steelers.
Ah, look at that. Looking ahead. The look ahead.
I mean, you know what? It could be a situation. Like, we don't know what's going to happen with the Pittsburgh-Baltimore Ravens game. Thanks for your call, Aaron.
Yep.
Like, what happens if they push it back a couple more days? Like, I heard on the radio that possibly it could be pushed all the way to Tuesday. Like, let's say there's more COVID situations and they push it all the way to Tuesday.
Right.
Then all of a sudden they have a really short week. Whereas Washington has more time to prepare. All that being said, I think you're dealing with a different animal when you talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, particularly on the defensive side, because T.J. Watt and that defense, they're going to come after Alex Smith way that Dallas couldn't do.
And they're also really good at shutting down the run.
Right.
So I wouldn't expect the same sort of Antonio Gibson stat line against the Steelers as you saw yesterday in Dallas. I think Scott Turner and company, they'll try to run the ball, but they're not going to have the same sort of success. But it certainly helps Washington football if the Steelers game is pushed to Tuesday.
Right.
But I think it's either going to play Sunday or it's going to get postponed until later in the season.
By the way,
that would be my guess.
Isn't Lamar Jackson on the COVID list?
He is on the COVID list now.
So is this going to be an RG3 game?
Possibly.
RG3. All right, let's go to Bill in Charlottesville. Bill, you're on with the Junkies. What's up?
How about them Cowboys, fellas? How do you like them, huh?
What's up, Bill?
I'll tell you what. I thought yesterday was Thanksgiving. It seemed like it was Christmas. You know? Unbelievable. You know? But I watching that game and watching how confident they were playing and all that stuff, I really think they turned the corner. You know, do I think they're going to play with the Steelers? Do I think they're going to play with the Ravens? No, I don't. But I'll tell you what, I really think Rivera's got these guys believing in themselves, playing hardball. I mean, they look like a different football team. They really do. They're playing tough. They're playing physical. And I'll tell you, next year in the draft, we got another receiver, you know, a couple of guys up front in the O-line. We might make some noise next year. I don't know.
Well, I'll say this. They do look like they're playing much better than they did early in the season. You can see why they made the switch from Haskins. Because, look, first four games, you know, they did beat the Eagles in the opener, but then they got spanked by the Cardinals, the Browns, the Ravens. And then they got spanked by
the
Rams. But since that Rams game, since that Rams game, every game has been tight. They lose to the Giants by a point. They beat the Cowboys. They lose to the Giants by a field goal. They lose to the Lions by just a field goal, and they've, of course, won their last two games. So they are a different team. The only thing I'll say is you do have to look at the context, and the context is that the wins are over some beleaguered bad teams. They have yet to beat a team with more than three wins.
I know the losses to the Giants are especially galling to Washington fans because those are division losses. I don't know how they managed to lose a game to the terrible Detroit Lions. I mean, that team over the last 2 weeks, I mean, they lay a goose egg in Carolina, and then they're embarrassed on Thanksgiving by a pretty poor Houston Texans team, even though Deshaun Watson is playing out of his mind. That's one that I know that the Washington football franchise, the fan base, and Eric Bickle want back.
Yeah, but Bill, hopefully you're right. Thanks for your call. Hopefully you're right in that Ron Rivera has his team headed in the right direction, and maybe you can buy into it. We'll see when they play some of these better teams like the Steelers and the Seahawks down the stretch. If they can compete and be competitive in those games, then I'll totally buy in.
But I do agree with his premise that you need to add a wide receiver to this mix. You can't just have it be the Terry McLaurin / throw it to the running back show. You have to have a little more a threat on the outside, I believe, because eventually other teams are going to learn to cover J.D. McKissic in the flat. I don't know what Dallas was doing when McKissic was wide open in the flat and Alex Smith found him yesterday, but that will be shut down eventually or limited eventually. If you get another burner on the outside to complement McLaurin, the offense could look a lot different.
All right, let's go to line four, Fredericksburg. Kevin, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Good morning, Peachy County guy number three, guys. Oxon Hill, baby.
Very good.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? Did you go to Oxon Hill or did you go to Friendly?
Hey, Friendly was our rival. Hey, listen, I've been watching the Redskins since Vince Lombardi, okay? I was a small kid then, and there's only two or three games for Dallas that have really singed me, really hurt bad. One was the Thanksgiving Day game with Longley, and the other one was the 79 game to go to the playoffs, the one that Riggins ran 66 yards and then Staubach threw two touchdown passes. But I got to tell you, yesterday we just destroyed the Cowboys, and I'm going to enjoy it today. And there's two interesting things that I noticed yesterday. I mean, first of all, this guy Chase Young is starting to become a monster. And this guy Lowry, you know, that might have – I'm not going to go ahead and say the outcome would have been different, but that was the play of the game when he ran down that linebacker who was already deciding what he was going to dance in the end.
Hold on, wait a second. What was the wide receiver's name?
Number 17, Lowry.
It's McLaurin.
Terry McLaurin. How does McLaurin morph into Lowry? I don't understand.
I don't know. I guess it's my age. Number 17 from Ohio
yes.
State. Yeah, I got the guy. McLaurin, yeah. That's fine. But, I mean, you know, that's not Daryl Green running down Tony Dorsett. But, damn, if that wasn't a hell of a play.
You're fired up. Thanks for your call, Kevin.
Good luck today.
Thank you, Kevin,
for your call.
I was wondering when he said Lowry, I was like, until he gave the play, I had no idea who he was talking about. I was like,
I wasn't tracking
Lowry on the team.
I wasn't tracking with him either, JP. It's okay.
800-636-1067. Let's go to Tim in DC, line 5. Tim, you're on with the Junks. What's up?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all doing?
Welcome to a victory for the city. Welcome to a Victory Friday, my friend.
Thank you, sir. You know who I noticed has been popping as of late that I haven't heard a lot of people talk about is Tim Settle, a local kid out of Onassis.
Yep.
He's been really playing some good ball lately. You know, he's been quiet as kept. He's been one of our most dominant defensive players in the last couple of games.
Yeah, and you know what? We had Jonathan Allen on the show on Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember which day he jumped on with us. But he talked about Tim Settle playing as well as he has. I mean, Tim Settle has 5 sacks. Then he doesn't get on the field that much. He and Ryan Kerrigan have been thriving as backups, and that helps keep their rotation of Montez Sweat and Jonathan Allen and Jerron Payne and Chase Young keeps them fresh.
I actually did feel bad for – I felt bad for Andy Dalton personally on the sack that he took where 4 guys just enveloped him. I think Payne was there. Chase Young came in late. There were at least 2 other guys who just jumped on top of him. I felt bad for Andy Dalton at that point.
All right, let's go to line 6. Noel's in Chicago. Noel, you're on with the Jets.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. How are you all doing?
How's
Chicago?
Oh, my goodness. What a game. I mean, there's so much to talk about, but, like, I was impressed with everything, but, like, that the Montez Sweat play, honestly, I mean, like, it got us up 41-16, whatever. But, like, that play to me was just so important because, like, when did you guys ever remember a time when you have, like, 15 to 20 guys, like, celebrating with each other after a touchdown? Everyone was just feeling it. Everyone was just on such a high after everyone was doing all the right things in the game. And on another note, I just wanted to say, like, my brother and I were actually Zooming while he was waking up in the Philippines and, like, we have 2 newborn sons when we were watching the game, and it was just like we were just going crazy and we were waking our kids up. It was just so awesome to watch everything. But
well, those guys are celebrating because they knew they were going to have a fun plane ride home. They knew it wasn't going to be, you know, gloom and doom and another loss to add on the pile. They're in first place. Of course they're celebrating.
It's absolutely, but it's like when have – so many things have just gone so right for so many guys. I mean, obviously, Terry's big play. Alex was managing the game well. Antonio Gibson, 3 touchdowns, played out of his mind. And, like, you know, Chase Young had a sack. Like, everywhere you go. Even Troy Apke had, like, a tackle. And like.
Yeah, I mean, all the stars were aligning for Washington football team yesterday. It was their day and clearly not Dallas's.
And look, Dallas, we understand. They're to their backup quarterback, and they had 2 of their tackles go down early in the game.
Right.
But we really should commend this Washington pass rush. You know, at times I've been less than impressed because you're expecting, especially after the opener against Philly where they had 8 sacks, you're expecting things which are probably impossible.
Right.
But I just looked at the updated numbers. They're number 2 in the NFL now in sacks. We knew this was going to be the strength of their team. They've got 36 as a team. I understand they have one more game than a lot of teams. The only team right now that has more sacks than the Washington football team is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've got 38. Washington has 36. And then we've been talking about some of these guys this morning. It's Montez Sweat, who leads the team with 6 sacks. Ryan Kerrigan, who, of course, is just filling in with 5.5. Tim Settle, also in the rotation with 5. Chase Young has 4.5. There's a lot of guys contributing to this defense, and they get after quarterbacks, and that makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. It makes the quarterback make bad decisions. It makes them, you know, throw a half second or a second too early, and maybe you get a pick out of that, or, you know, a deflection. You know, the Sweat play for the touchdown was awesome. It was just like, it was very similar to J.J. Watt's play in the game earlier against Detroit, where he brought the pressure, gets the tip, brings it in for the touchdown to seal the game is basically won at that point, but that really sealed it away. So the defense playing at a high level, taking advantage of a wounded opponent in the Cowboys, and that's what you have to do to a wounded opponent. You put them away, which is what they did.
You know, a number which is surprising to me because I know how bad they've struggled with it in the past is third down percentage. I mean, teams used to just murder the Washington football team on third downs. Right now they're 6th in the league. They allow 38% on third downs, which is pretty good.
That is,
they used to give up like 50% on third
downs.
They
used to casually let the other team just convert third downs all the time.
Let's go to line 7. Larry's in Fort Washington. Larry, you're on with the Junkies. What's up?
Hey, boys, I want to talk about that defensive line. But
let's
you just
it.
Did it.
Well, what's your take?
It's the best line they've had since Dexter and the Manly guy. You need to have them on to talk about it.
Well, Dexter was pretty. We've had good. Dexter on the show Dexter before.
Dexter and the Manly guy.
Yes.
I think well, you meant the Dexter Manly and Charles
then,
Mann.
And then we'll get that Lowry. Get Lowry back up on it. Get Lowry in there. But listen, I'm worried that they're going to get on a plane and spread that corona around.
Well, look, let's hope that's not the case.
The coronavirus is going to impact probably every team, and they're going to be guys that get it. But so far, they've been pretty fortunate in terms of following the protocols and not having a big spread. But that's something that I think is going to be very tough for teams to control. It's going to flare
Thank
up
you
from
for
time
the call,
to time
sir.
With different teams.
But he was touching on the defensive line. They should be paying these sorts of dividends. The draft capital that they've allocated to that defensive line is crazy. I mean, Chase Young was a number 2 overall pick. Daron Payne, first round pick. John Allen, first round pick. Montez Sweat, they traded back into the first round to select him. It should be one of the strengths, if not the overall strength of the team, and you saw it on full display yesterday.
By the way, offensive line not playing that bad. Morgan Moses over to left tackle. David Sharp in at right tackle. I think they're holding their own.
Hey, anytime you road grade your opponent and let your running back score 3 rushing touchdowns, you're doing something right on across the offensive line.
All right, let's sneak in one more call. We do have the Junkies Blitz coming up at 7:45. Let's go out to New York. Henry on line 8. Henry, you're on with the Junkies. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Geez Louise, I've been a long-time listener, first-time caller. I love the fact that I'm actually talking to you right now.
Thanks, Henry.
Appreciate it.
Look, I got to say this. Alex Smith has been playing so well. I'm wondering, do you guys think, especially with Dwayne Haskins waiting in the wings there, do you guys think if he keeps playing this well for next year's draft, do you go for a quarterback first? Do you guys think we could wait on that now? So if Alex Smith, you know, plays well to the end of the season.
I think it's likely you draft a quarterback anyway because Alex Smith is advanced in years, okay? He's got one more year in his contract. Maybe he's the placeholder. Now who knows where you're going to draft, so it probably depends. where you're going to draft, but I still think that you have to draft your quarterback of the future, and it's probably not Dave Haskins.
No. Yeah.
Do you think, like, first round, or you guys wait till, like, second or third round?
Depends. I mean, if there's a guy they like,
plays well.
If there's a guy they like wherever they're picking in the first that they love, they think they can develop and groom, they'll pick him. If they see somebody the second and third they think fits their model of offense, they'll pick him there. Hopefully they just don't overdraft a quarterback, because – they already did that with Haskins. They've been down that road with him.
Thank Very you, Henry. True. By the way, I don't want to overstate how well Alex Smith is playing. Thank you. Ryan, once they talk, especially when they call Dwayne Haskins Dave Haskins, you can bail. I just don't want to overstate on how well Alex Smith is playing. I do think the offense is better. And Alex Smith certainly has command of the offense. But let's not crown him like he's right. This amazing quarterback right now. His QBR yesterday was 21.7. That's poor. That's because of the pick six. You know, he took three sacks. His completion percentage has been high. That's what Alex Smith is going to give you. But it's not like he's throwing four touchdown passes to no picks. You know what I mean?
Well, plus,
like,
his
let's
average
not praise him too much. It's a great story.
It's an amazing
Undeniably
story.
A feel-good story. He should win Comeback Player of the Year. I know John
Feinstein. He is going to win that.
John Feinstein's going to come on at 8. Alex Smith is one of his guys. You got to praise Alex Smith, but let's not get carried away with Alex Smith's production on the field.
Right. And let's also not act like he's going to play for another 4 or 5 years. There has to be a succession plan in place. And I'm totally cool with Washington Football Team drafting a quarterback relatively high, because you need that next guy in the pipeline, because that next guy isn't on the roster right now.
Right. Just to fill you in, so far, Alex Smith, with a couple of starts, has completed 69% of his passes. He's thrown for 1,067 yards, 3 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, quarterback rating at 81.3. That is not exactly a stellar season so far, but that being said, doing enough to win games, and that's what it's ultimately about. I know that some people think that wins and losses, you should never attribute them to quarterbacks, and I agree with that generally, but Alex Smith is doing what Ron Rivera and Scott Turner want him to do, distributing the ball mostly to backs and tight ends and Terry McLaurin. If you're a receiver not named Terry McLaurin, you're probably not going to get much action.
Nope.
Unless you're a running back or Logan Thomas at tight end.
Yeah, if you're one of those guys, you're going to see plenty of action.
All right, coming up next, we'll switch gears. We will go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz, and we're going to mix in our Friday morning fatties. It's only two of us now, but of course, EB and Lurch put in their picks on Wednesday, and Valdez has texted me his pick. So we'll do fatties and go through the top 5 matchups in the NFL coming up this weekend next as we do the Junkies Blitz right here on The Fan. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. And NBC Sports Washington on a Victory Friday, driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers, where there's always less talk and more drive. Shop dcarea.acuradealers.com for current incentives. Got a bunch of guests joining us here in the final 2 hours, Cakes. John Feinstein is jumping on at 8.
Yep.
We got the Rooster Chris Russell at 8:20.
Very good.
Jason Lockenfora from CBS Sports and Radio.com, NFL Insider, he jumps on at 9. And Stucky from the Action Network to give us his winners at 9:40. Typically we do Friday morning fatties at 6:45 and give all our winners. Since Jason was on vacation, he texted his pick. He took the Cowboys, loser. EB gave his 2-game teaser, which I believe included Washington on both sides. So I got to believe that was a winner, but I'm not positive.
All right.
We'll check on that. But the bottom line is they put in their picks. Valdez has texted me his pick. So before we get to the Junkies Blitz, why don't we do a quick rendition of Friday Morning Fatties. Valdez likes the over in the Cardinals-Patriots game. That's over 49.
So he likes the over. He's kind of stealing my bet where he's picking overs.
Yes.
I could see that game potentially shooting out, especially if Cam Newton can pass the ball a little bit better like he has in the last few games, because we know the Cardinals are going to put up some points. I can see that one getting into the 50s.
So Valdez is in on the over. We'll put this up at Junks Radio with all of our picks. And I'm sure what he's doing, Cakes, because a prudent bettor would do this. You go to BetQL. That's the Apt-Out Smart Vegas. Powerful analytics for sports betting. Get access to real-time line movement, value bets of the day, and meaningful team trends. So he's in with the over. Let me give you mine, Cakes.
All right.
You know I've been high on the Giants. So I'm looking at the Giants-Bengals game. The line I see is the Giants land 6. I generally don't like to lay a lot of lumber, 6 points, with a bad team, and the Giants are a bad team. But the Bengals are worse, and they're going to have a backup quarterback, and the Giants have had a bye week to prepare. I have to believe they're going to be ready to rock and roll and stomp on the Bengals. So I'm going to lay the 6 points and go with the Giants as my Friday morning fatty.
The Bengals are elevating their practice squad quarterback in Brandon Allen. So they've seen enough from Ryan Finley. They said, you're not playing. We're playing Brandon Allen. I like that pick. I like the Giants to win by 7 or 10 on the road. Of course, I'm on BetQL as well. I'm looking at the numbers. I only do overs. I don't do unders because nobody roots for an under because they're boring and gross. The Chargers are catching 5 at Ralph Wilson Stadium in Buffalo. Your over-under is 53 in this one. And, of course, I'm going to go over. L.A. is averaging 31 points over Justin Herbert's last 7 starts. Buffalo is 11th in per-game scoring. They're just a tick above 27. They're at 27.2 points per game on the year. I could see a shootout brewing between Herbert and Josh Allen, so I love the over 53. This could be a 41-35 type of shootout in Western New York. So I love the over. Love it.
All right. So, Ryan, can you play some NFL music for me? Time now for the Junkies Blitz. We'll go through some of the top matchups. Blitz brought to you by Impress Technology, an SBA-certified hub zone solution provider and Dell Federal partner. All right, let's start with the Titans-Colts.
Both big loss, by the way.
7-3.
Your Colts, by the way, lose to Forrest Buckner. He's on the COVID list. That's their best defensive lineman. That could be good news for Derrick Henry and the running game in Tennessee.
One would think Colts have a stout defense. They're only allowing 20.8 points per game. You know what's impressed me about the Colts? I've thought they have been fraudulent the whole time.
Yep.
But the last couple weeks, Phillip Rivers has played fairly well.
Yeah, old man Rivers is hanging in there. He had some spotty games early in the season. I'm pulling up his numbers right now. It's 14 touchdowns against just 8 picks. He's 12th in the league in passing yards at 2680. Decent numbers. Not great, but not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that they were a fraud, but, you look at the win against Green Bay. That was an impressive win. They beat Tennessee earlier in the year. 34-17. So we'll see if Tennessee can get some revenge here. By the way, Ryan Tannehill having a great year. They rewarded him with a big contract. 22 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions.
By the way, a fantasy nugget for 2021. I know this is looking ahead a bit. A guy that I'm going to be scooping up or targeting in a lot of drafts next year is Michael Pittman Jr. That dude is a player. He struggled with some health issues, but he's become a featured part of that offense as a rookie, and he's only going to take another step, I would guess, in 2021.
Cakes, we have a 1-15 game.
Possibly.
The Ravens against the Steelers. Ravens, though, will not have Lamar Jackson under center. He's on the COVID list. Trace McSorley is on the COVID list. A bunch of their guys, their top two running backs, are on the COVID list. So it's going to be Gus Edwards in the backfield, probably RG3 under center, if the game goes off at 1:15.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if this game got moved to Monday or Tuesday and or postponed into later in the season. And maybe they have to go to a Week 18 and throw off the playoff schedule a bit. Because the Ravens players can't even get into their facility, right? I think until Monday, correct?
Yeah.
I think it's shut down through the weekend.
Look, you're behind the eight ball. No doubt about it, they're behind the eight ball. Of course, the Steelers are undefeated atop the AFC. Chiefs just a game behind them, so they're still in the mix for the top seed in the AFC if the Steelers do stumble. At 9-1, they head to Tampa to take on the Bucs, Cakes. And the Bucs, of course, haven't looked great the last couple of outings. They lose to the Rams 27-24. Actually, they looked good against Carolina in between, but they've lost to two of their last three, getting thrashed by New Orleans a few weeks ago and then losing to the Rams last week.
You know who's having a huge season is Travis Kelce. He's got nearly 900 receiving yards, 7 end zone trips already, mid-60s in catches. I mean, he's going to have like 95 catches this year.
And I'm sorry, Patrick Mahomes is your MVP favorite right now. 27 touchdowns, just 2 picks. So that is a 4:25 kick on Sunday. At 8:20, you've got the Bears 5-5 hanging on to the playoff hopes. They head to Green Bay to take on a Packers team that I just mentioned coming off a loss. I would expect this to be the old bounce back for the Packers.
This might be the smash spot for Aaron Rodgers. I have never believed in the Bears, especially with, you know, just a mix of bad quarterbacks in Trubisky and Nick Foles. I would fully expect them to get smashed at Green Bay. I think Green Bay is laying like 8 or 9 points in this one.
And finally, on Monday night, you have the Eagles. Got to keep your eye on this game. Hosting the Seattle Seahawks, who, of course, are 7-3. Everybody had said the Eagles, once they get healthy, they're going to run away with the NFC East. Well, they lost at New York a couple weeks ago, 27-17. They lost the Browns last week, 22-17. Carson Wentz continues to struggle, Cakes. 14 touchdowns, 14 interceptions.
Yep, he is a turnover machine. According to BetQL, Seattle laying 5 on the road here. Your over-under is 50. I would expect either one of DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett to have a big game. It's hard to pick which one is going to have it which week. One of those guys will have a big game, and I just don't think the Eagles can keep up offensively.
Doubtful. All right, coming up next, it's best-selling author and Washington Post columnist John Feinstein. It's Fridays with Feinstein on The Fan, next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.